It's Nuggets Talk with Altitude Sports' Katie Wenge on the Jim Davis Show.
With us right now, the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line covers the Nuggets for Altitude. Katie Wenge, she joins us. Katie, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Let's see, it was five cities, two different countries, but it might have felt like you were in a third country last night with all the Serbian flags there with the Serbs watching Nikola Jokic last night in Washington.
Yeah, it definitely was. It's funny. There've been longer road trips that I've been on over the past couple of years for the Denver Nuggets, but this one felt particularly long. Between the two back-to-backs in New York, we were in New York for like 4 days, and then we had 2 days off in D.C., so we were just kind of waiting around for the game to happen last night, and finally hit my head on my pillow at 3 a.m. Denver time. So crazy travel trip, longest trip of the year, but the Nuggets, pretty good outcome.
Well, we appreciate you coming on this morning after, of course, a very long trip and a short night of rest. We appreciate it. We won't keep you too long this morning because I know you probably have a lot of things to get caught up on and just, you know, unpacking and all the things that come with being gone as long as you've been. It's probably people are going, hey, Katie, you look are you Katie? You look familiar. You've been gone so long, they probably don't recognize you.
Yeah, it's funny. Scott Hastings always talks about how the hardest trip of a road trip is the first game home, because once you get home, it's like life hits you right in the face. You have to, like, family stuff and unpacking and taking care of things back at, you know, your apartment or your house where you live. And so it's kind of easy to lose a little bit of focus once you get back home. Thankfully, the Nuggets do have a couple days to get ready for the Milwaukee Bucks. But it is funny how you just want to probably rest and enjoy being back home. But the moment that you're here, you're like, okay, I have 5 million things I need to take care of now that I'm back in Denver.
But what's the first thing you do for yourself when you're back home to kind of get yourself back into the swing of things? Maybe just that the one thing that you can only do at home that kind of makes you feel like, okay, I'm back home, and I catch my breath, and it's a little me time for just a few minutes.
So for me, I love trying out different coffee shops on the road. That's one of the things that I love posting on social media, and people will recommend some to me. But I absolutely love making coffee at my own house and sitting down and, like, having a slow morning the day after I get back, hanging out with my dog. Like, that to me is like, okay, I can breathe a sigh of relief. I've made my coffee the way that I always love to make it, and I've got my dog next to me. Life is good.
Yeah, so it's just that Katie's cup of Joe, just that cup of coffee.
Exactly.
In your place.
Yep.
Reconnecting with your dog and just being able to chill out for a little bit. Katie Wenge from Altitude Sports covers the Nuggets joining us today. Nuggets get the win at Washington last night. Nikola Jokic, another great basketball game with 31 points last night. Jamal Murray nearly had a double-double for Denver and a really great three-point shooting night for Michael Porter Jr. But Michael Malone talked about how he had to get on the guys at halftime. So, come on, I want these guys to care. And he was like, we finally started caring last night. And there seemed to be, while happy with the win, a sense of frustration from Coach Malone that he shouldn't have to give this kind of speech against a team like Washington with just, you know, 9 games left in the season, that there seemed to be some frustration on the part of Coach Michael Malone on his part last night.
Yeah, I think it's human nature, right? And he's been talking about this a lot the past couple days, where the Nuggets have been in the first place in the Western Conference since December. Like, that's a long time to really withstand, like, to hold on and to withstand all of the adversity that they've kind of had to face through that. And they were playing some of their best basketball through that time. And so I think when you've had a taste of how good that they can be and the potential that's there, it's really hard to settle for less. So from a coaching standpoint, you can understand that, right? But the human nature side of it is, the Nuggets really aren't playing for anything right now. Like, they're playing to hold on to that number one seed, but it really, the urgency comes from the teams that are trying to catch them. And so I think more than anything, this Nuggets team is really ready for some playoff basketball, which is coming. It's on its way. The concern is kind of the drop-off in these 9 games or the past couple games that the Nuggets have had. And so I talked to Jokic at practice a couple days ago, and that was his biggest concern too. I asked him, you know, you have 10 games remaining. This is prior to the DC game. What do you think the team needs to focus on most in that final stretch? And his answer was really simple. It was like, we need to wake up. We're not good enough to where we can flip a switch. I don't think any team is good enough to where they can just flip a switch and be the best version of themselves. So I think throughout these next nine games, that's kind of what the Nuggets are going to be focused on, getting back to Denver Nuggets basketball. But to your point, Jim, Coach Malone wasn't the only one that was voicing frustration. Like, Coach shouted out Jamal Murray after the last game and said that his leadership was something noteworthy. He was talking, going back to the locker room, about being frustrated and saying, it feels like this team is just going through the motions. So Jamal Murray speaking up, I mean, he's kind of like Nikola Jokic. When those two talk, everybody listens, because they pick and choose their spots very strategically. So good to hear that Jamal kind of got the guys fired up. Coach Malone echoed that sentiment at halftime. And the third quarter was much more like the Nuggets basketball that we've come to know and love.
Katie Wingy joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Milwaukee at home coming up on Saturday with Giannis. Of course, is in the mix along with Joker for the MVP. And then the big rematch with Philadelphia and Joel Embiid, who's really now become the prime contender to Nikola Jokic for the MVP. With nine games left, and like you said, Nuggets looking to keep that number one spot in the West, but you know, they've secured their playoff spots, so that's not at stake. Is it now a situation where it's sending a message maybe to the Eastern Conference, Katie, for this basketball team, to Giannis and the Bucks, to Joel Embiid and the Sixers, that look, Nuggets get into the finals, we face you, we don't fear you, and getting some payback and a little revenge for how things went in Philadelphia, which was not a good effort by the Nuggets when they lost there previously?
You know, I think it's less we're going to make a statement, and it's more we're playing two really good teams. Let's see where we're at. Like, that's what it feels like to me. And this Nuggets team has never really struggled to get up for big games. It's been, and they've done a much better job of it for majority of the season. It's been when you're playing teams like the Washingtons, where they don't have two of their best players, and the Nuggets kind of breathe a sigh of relief and settle in when they shouldn't. And they think they can just walk in and win the game. I do not think that that's going to be a mentality that they will have coming into the game against Milwaukee Bucks or against Philadelphia. These are two really big games. They're both home games. The Nuggets had kind of had a little bump in the road at home as of late. And so can they right that ship a little bit more after, you know, having such a great season at Ball Arena and get that back in a place where they feel good about it too? Because these are two teams where you're going to get their best. They're looking to prove something. They're looking to prove maybe that the Eastern Conference is stronger than the Western Conference. Embiid's going to be looking to prove, you know, I'm the MVP. Even though he might not say it, he's going to come out and play that way. If he plays, I know he went out of the game, his last game, with an injury. So I think he's good to go. And then I don't know. That's always a question mark with Embiid. But I think with the Bucks in particular, it's just going to be one of those things where you're going to get the best version of the Bucks, because the Nuggets are the hunted now. They used to be the hunters, and now they're the hunted. They're the number one seed of the West, and teams want to make statements against them. So for the Nuggets, it's like, can you get up for these really big teams and play the basketball you're capable of playing?
And then they wrap it up at home, the regular season, on the ninth against Sacramento. How shocked have you been to see what the Kings have done this season?
Yeah, super surprised. And Sabonis has been phenomenal for them, but I have to give Mike Brown, like, all the credit in the world. Coach Malone has given him a lot of credit, too. They've coached together, so they know each other. They just have been outstanding. And I think everybody is – you know how, like, the Minnesota Vikings this season in football, like, they had such a great record and everybody was calling them frauds? And they're like, they're not as good as all the wins that they have. And I feel like people are kind of like that with Sacramento. Like, no one really believes the success is real. No one really believes the success is sustainable. And then making the playoffs, this is the longest playoff drought of any NBA team, the Sacramento Kings. They're going to break that streak this season. So I'm excited to see what they can do when the lights are shining even brighter and the stage is set. I think a lot of teams are probably searching for a Kings matchup, because you know you have a young Kings team with not a lot of playoff experience. But it's been fun to watch them thrive and prove people wrong, and I'm a sucker for a good underdog story, so I'm here for it.
Yeah, it's fun to see what the Kings are doing. Like you said, the longest playoff drought in the NBA, and that's going to come to an end, and just in everything that's gone on there over the years with that team nearly leaving Sacramento and some of those things that make it an interesting story. Katie Wingy from Altitude with us today on the Team Sports Network. Wrap it up, Katie, with your concerns about the Nugget bench right now, because there are times – Well, I think I liked initially a lot of the moves, and like Thomas Bryant and some of those things that they've done, and Reggie Jackson, but it just seems like it hasn't clicked yet with those two guys in particular. Kind of take us through your thoughts about where the Nuggets bench is right now.
Yeah, I would say I feel pretty confident saying that Thomas Bryant and Reggie Jackson are out of the rotation for the foreseeable future, unless something happens. I know Coach Malone has talked about if the opposing team does have a bigger center that comes in for them, then we might see Thomas Bryant a little bit more. But both of those are going to be options to have depending on matchups. They're not necessarily going to be like worked into the second unit as we've been seeing the past couple games right now. Coach Malone's been very honest, I believe, with both of them. I know for sure with Reggie Jackson of like, look, Christian is doing what we need him to do right now. We're grateful that you're here, but you're just not in the rotation, and I hope that you can understand that we're trying to win a championship. And they've been great in terms of attitude, in terms of presence in the locker room. I think that the second unit still is trying to figure out what their identity is. Between Jamal Murray being the stagger that goes in with them, Bruce Brown, Christian Brown, that we saw KCP stagger with them last night. I think that's just because Jamal Murray has been playing such high-volume minutes. And then you're going to see some combination of Jeff Green, of Vladko Chanchar. It doesn't seem like Vladko's in the rotation right the second. So there are still pieces of that puzzle that need to find their place. And I think that, for me, is the biggest concern and my biggest focal point in these final nine games. Is how is that bench going to shake out? How is their confidence going to be? And how are they going to find really their identity? Coach Malone talks all the time about defending, rebounding, and running. And you can't rebound and run if you don't defend. And I think that second unit really needs to thrive off of being a disruptive defense that can get out and go against an opposing defense that isn't set. They're not going to find a whole lot of success going, you know, playing half court offense and trying to run sets and that sort of thing. I just don't think Jamal Murray's really the only player in that unit that can play make and can create. And you don't want to put that load entirely on Jamal Murray, especially, you know, given the way that his body's probably feeling at this point. So there's got to be more cutting. There's got to be more moving. There's got to be more, you know, playing selflessly within that second unit, but also on the defensive end. That's got to get figured out for them.